God bless that word to our hearts. Don't refuse the Saviour. Listen to the message of salvation that's found in the gospel. And don't refuse to hear what God has to say in his word. We are going to turn for a scripture reading to the Gospel of Matthew, please, chapter 9. We're going to turn to a few portions of scripture, but we're going to read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, just a few verses there, and we'll turn to other portions of scripture as well. But Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, and reading from verse 1 of the chapter. And he entered into his ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled, and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's just unite, please, in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we think of the exhortation that has been given not to refuse the Saviour tonight. And we pray for the speaking voice of God to be heard in the midst here in this place. O God, that thou wouldst minister to hearts and draw men and women nigh to thyself. Thou art able to save, and we pray for that salvation blessing. Lord, give that good cheer tonight as men and women turn to thee. Lord, bless, we pray of thee, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. There are many people in this day and generation who will not even listen to the news on the radio or the television because to them it's a depressing thing. It does not matter what kind of news it is, whether it's national news or local news. The things that are taking place around the world, to many people it just produces a feeling of depression in their hearts and fills their hearts with that deep sense of sadness in their mind. We read and are told about famines and wars and economic depression. We're told about factories shutting and people being killed in disasters and storms and earthquakes. And the news that comes quite naturally will depress a lot of people. By contrast, the Christian is a happy person. Remember what the Lord Jesus said? He said in Philippians, or Paul writing, speaking the word of God, said in Philippians 4 verse 4, Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Now there are many Christians, professing Christians, then they look so miserable, but we shouldn't be miserable. Paul again wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16. And he said, Rejoice evermore. And thank God tonight that we have reason to have good cheer. The Lord Jesus said, Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He said that in this world you'll have tribulation. There will be many things that will come along your path to get you down, to get you discouraged in many ways. But thank God the message of God is, be of good cheer. And I hope tonight that God will bring that message of comfort to your heart. We want to look at three passages in which the Lord Jesus speaks of good cheer. We're going to look at the three good cheers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's always good to hear a message of good cheer. Maybe there are times when you've tried to cheer somebody up and it had the opposite effect. I read about a pastor, a young man who went into the prison and he was visiting people who were on death row. And he went into this cell, there was a young man on death row, he was waiting for the electric chair. And he began to speak to the young man, tell him about the things of God. And he was going out of the cell and he was going to say goodbye, but he felt that that was something that sounded so final. So he said, well, I'll say so long. But he thought that sounded a bit frivolous and trite. And then he thought, well, I'll say see you later. And then he thought, well, I'm not going to see him later. So he, in all his awkwardness, said, well, more power to you. And sometimes we get the word of encouragement wrong. But you know, today the Lord doesn't get the word of encouragement wrong. You know, he says, be of good cheer. And the good cheers of the Savior are those that will make us happy and those that will be just what we need to hear. So I want you to look at the good cheers of the Lord Jesus Christ here in the Word of God. And first of all, I want you to see the good cheer of pardon for sin. We find that in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. It says, and behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and seeing their faith, Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And here is this man, he's paralyzed, he's lying on a bed, he's in a real difficult position. You can imagine what it must have been for this man in that day. He had lost the means by which he could win his livelihood. There would have been a lot of misery associated with the way that he would have lived. He had a hard lot. And yet the Lord Jesus is able to say, be of good cheer. And I'm glad that there is the good cheer of forgiveness of sins tonight. And I want you to see the feebleness of the man. Here's a man, he's obviously unable to move. You'll notice the way that his friends bring him to the Lord. They get him on a bed and they lift the bed and bring it to where the Lord Jesus is. Now, if the man had any ability to move whatsoever, they might have armed him into the place where the Lord Jesus was, or they could have put their arms around him and helped him along the way. But obviously the man is so paralyzed that he cannot move at all, because they have to take him on the bed. And in those days that would have been a very great disadvantage. Even today in Eastern lands, the beggars are left there. They do have the tradition of almsgiving, but in many ways they're left helpless there. And you know, the old condition of sin that is in the hearts of men and women leaves us in an awful, helpless condition. The Bible says that we are dead in trespasses and in sin. And not only was this man powerless, but he was pitiful. His real state was one of misery. He was suffering pain from the paralysis itself, no doubt, and there was that source of misery. But we think of the misery of sin that is in the world. We think of what drunkenness and crime there is on our streets because of the malady of sin. And here was a man who had not the means to enjoy the best of life. The means of enjoying the life to the full had been taken from him. And that's what sin does. You know, there are many people who think that they cannot enjoy themselves unless they have a drink or they have the drugs or something else like that. But you know, here's a man who's paralyzed, he can't move. And that's like you today. You can't move in the direction that will bring the best to your soul, bring you into the very fullness of the blessing of God, because in his presence there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And here's the feebleness of the man. It speaks of the feebleness that we have in sin.
But not only do we see the feebleness of the man, but look at the faith of his companions. This man has four friends. And somewhere along the line, these men have a hunch, or they hear something about the Lord Jesus, and they want to get this man to where the Lord Jesus is. They'd heard about the power of Christ. They'd heard something about the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they realized that if they could get their companion to Christ, that he could be healed. An audience with Christ might bode well for their friend. So there's a determination that is born in their hearts that they're going to get their friend to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, it's a wonderful privilege if there's somebody in your life that has an interest in you getting to Christ. What a wonderful thing it is that there are people who have a desire to bring you to meetings or to get you to where the gospel is preached. And what a mighty thing it is to be able to come along to a gospel meeting such as this. And you know, the same Lord who demonstrated his power in times gone by is the Lord who can demonstrate his power to you tonight. His power is not waned in any way. He's still mighty to save. And these companions here, now they had to make considerable effort to get him to Christ. They had to lift him on this bed and carry him to where the Lord Jesus Christ was. They had to combine together and get their efforts together to get him to where the Lord Jesus Christ was. But these were men who loved their friend. Maybe there are those of your family, those of your relations, who have a desire for you, a love for you, to get you to where the Lord Jesus Christ is. They see the faith of the companions. But also look at the fix that they encountered. Because why these men had a commendable desire to get their friend to Christ, there was a great difficulty. Because when they got to the house where the Lord Jesus was, we read about a press. We read that the crowd had packed the house or the residence where the Lord Jesus was speaking. People were sitting in the doorways and in the windows and crowded the doorways, and there was no way of getting in to where the Lord Jesus was. You know, it's never easy getting people to Christ. There are always difficulties to be overcome. Sometimes it has to do with the crowd who are surrounding Christ. Some of the biggest hindrances to the gospel sometimes can be God's own people. But you know, it might be the barrier of the crowd out there, the friends and loved ones that you have. You're thinking, how will people react if I get saved? Men and women, there are going to be barriers. And no greater barrier than the barrier that the old devil will put up and try and stop you from coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ or get into his presence. The flesh will rebel against that. And I want to tell you, there are many difficulties. But I want you to not only see the fix that they encountered, but look at the fortitude they showed. Because these men were not put off by the difficulties. Mark chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." So they went up on the roof, and they took off the tiles, and they let the man down on a rope in front of where the Lord Jesus was. Now that was a risky strategy. People don't like their roof being broken up, and paraplegics don't particularly like being dropped on a bungee rope down in front of somebody from the roof or the ceiling cavity. And here was a man, these men were determined. There's nothing going to put them off. And I say to you tonight, don't let anything put you off from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at the forgiveness the man received. When he was let down in front of the Lord Jesus, you notice the words that the Lord brought to him. The Lord said, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." Now there's something strange about that. Because the man was paralyzed and the problem that he had was with his feet or with his legs. And it's obvious here that there was the paralysis that needed to be healed and he was to be enabled to walk again. And you'd think that the Lord Jesus would have dealt with those symptoms first. That's what the men hoped. They were hoping that his legs would be healed. But the first thing that the Lord Jesus does is forgive the man's sin. Now, why did the Lord Jesus focus upon the man's sin first? Surely the pressing problem was the paralysis that he had. But you see, the Lord Jesus does not fiddle about with the symptoms. He goes to the heart of the problem. And the heart of the problem with this man was his sin. Now the Lord Jesus could have healed the body, and he did. He did later on. But he could have sent the man away, and it would have been only a temporary relief of the symptoms. For one day that man was going to die. What that man needed more than anything else was his sins forgiven. You know, the thing that you need more than anything else, you could think of maybe the difficulties that are facing you, and the problems that are benighting you, and all sorts of things that you need in your life. But the thing above everything else that you need is that your sins are forgiven. Are they forgiven? Are you washed in the precious blood of the Lamb tonight? Dear friend, you need to get to Christ. For Christ is the only one who can say, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. So here is the good cheer of sins forgiven. Now turn over with me to Matthew's Gospel again, just a few chapters. To Matthew chapter 14. And I want you to look at verse 27. And we read verse 25 down to 27 just to get the context. It says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. So there is, first of all, the good cheer of pardon for sin. Now here is the good cheer, the presence of the Savior. It is I, be not afraid. And thank God here was the presence of the Savior to meet the need of the frightened disciples. This was just after the time when the Lord Jesus had healed the 5,000, or had fed rather the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 small fish. And we read how the Lord Jesus told the disciples to get into a boat and he sent the multitudes away and the disciples sailed out onto the Sea of Galilee and they were out there in the middle of the night and it was dark and a storm began to blow. And in the most depressing period of the night, a great storm, a massive storm, erupted in the middle of that sea. And we read that John tells us that these experienced sailors are afraid. We're told that they're 25 or 30 furlongs out. Now, a furlong in those days was a 7.5 Jewish furlongs made a 9. So they were about 4 miles out. Now, the Sea of Galilee is only 10 miles wide at its widest point. So they were literally in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And the storm begins to toss the little vessel in which they are, and they're going up and down, and the little band of followers of Christ are in fear of their lives. At about 3 o'clock, to 6 o'clock in the morning, the darkest hour. But imagine what it must have been when the Lord Jesus came to them and he was walking on the water and he gets into the boat and his first words are, be of good cheer, it is I. And they knew everything was all right when the Lord Jesus was with them. And I want you to see the command that he brings. He commanded them to be of good cheer. There they were, being tossed up and down in the middle of the night in the pitch black. But you know the Lord is able to bring good cheer even when it is darkest. And I want you to see that. I want you to realize tonight, the Lord wasn't mocking them. The Lord wasn't bringing some type of taunt to them when he said, be of good cheer. It is possible to be of good cheer when things are darkest. Dear friend, tonight you might be in the depths of despair. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, be of good cheer. Not only do you see the command that the Lord brings, but look at the comfort the Lord brings. He says, it is I. Be not afraid. You know, the Lord knew what they really needed was his presence. It is I. There were the winds and the waves beating and the waves foaming in the middle of the darkness. And the Lord Jesus drew near. And when he was there, all their problems vanished and the night seemed as nothing. Could it be tonight that you're in problems? Is there a night all round you, you tossed in the storm and the waves are contrary and things are pulling you in the opposite direction to what you want to go and you're taking one step forward and two steps back? You know the Lord Jesus is watching through the storm. And he says, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. He says to his people, I'll never leave you or forsake you. It says in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came unto them, walking on the sea. Dear friend, if you've the Lord Jesus Christ, you can smile at the storm. He says in Isaiah 42, 3 and 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The greatest despair that we can have is to think of death. But the psalmist was able to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's always good to have the Savior with you. Do you have him with you tonight? Is he in the vessel of your life? Oh, the comfort that the Lord brings. And then I want you to see the confirmation he brings. He's able to say to the disciples, be not afraid. There's nobody else who could say that. There's nobody else who could keep them from perishing in that awful storm. There they are in wide-eyed panic, stricken. When the Lord comes and says, be not afraid. And he's the one who holds all power in his hand. And he's the one who's able to allay our fears. He's able to meet you at the point of your need. And he's able to allay your fears not only for time, but for all eternity. He's able to give an eternity of salvation. And he's able to give you peace that passeth all understanding. He says to you tonight, it is I. Be not afraid. Do you know my friend? Do you hear his speaking voice tonight in the midst of the storm-tossed waters of this old world, in the midst of the gloom and darkness? Is there that voice that speaks to you and says, it is I. Be not afraid. Oh, listen to his voice tonight. Make sure that you know him and that he's in your heart. And in your soul, there's the good cheer of pardon for sin. And then there is the good cheer of the presence of the Savior. But turn over with me again to John's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 33. And here's another one of the good cheers of the Lord Jesus Christ. John's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 33. And we're going to read verse 32 again to get the context. And here's the Lord Jesus. We'll read verse 21 again. Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." The good cheer of pardon for sin, and the good cheer of the presence of the Savior. Here's the good cheer of the power of the Son of God. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Luther said that this verse is worthy to be carried from Rome to Jerusalem upon one's knees. And here was the Savior speaking to his disciples again, but these words are relevant to the sinner as well. This was the Lord just a matter of hours before he died on Calvary. And the disciples had just reaffirmed their belief in the Lord Jesus as the Son of God. Verse 32 says, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." And the Lord said, you're going to forsake me, you're going to be scattered. He said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And I want you to see what he was saying here. One thing he was saying is that in this world you can count on persecution. In this world, he says, ye shall have tribulation. We do not need to be told that. We do live in a world of trouble. We don't need to be convinced, because the evidence is all around us. Many people are suffering. And Christians are not immune to the suffering that we see around us. I'm not going to say tonight that if you get saved, that everything in the garden is going to be rosy, because it won't. In Sudan, Christians are enslaved. In Iran, they are assassinated. In Cuba, they are imprisoned. In China, they're beaten to death. In 60 countries worldwide, Christians are harassed, abused, tortured, executed for their faith. 200 million Christians throughout the world live daily in fear of secret police and vigilantes and state repression and discrimination. Hundreds of millions of Christians are suffering tonight because of their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are cursed, they are benighted, they are slain, they are persecuted in every way. And you know, we think of the little poem that was written by William Henry Davis when he said, "What is this life? If full of care, we have no time to stand and stare." And I want to tell you, you'll count on persecution. But also we can count on peace. The Lord Jesus says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace." Now here's a reason to be cheerful. We have peace in our hearts. What is the peace I'm speaking about? Well, there are a number of levels in which we can understand that peace. The Lord is certainly going to bring peace that reigns in the heart. Normally peace is the absence of turmoil or conflict. And the Lord Jesus has brought that peace. The Bible speaks of the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Now the world cannot understand Christians who are under persecution, those 60 countries tonight, and yet there's a peace in their heart. Where does that come from? It comes from the blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of Christians in the West, they're concerned about prosperity, and they're concerned about self-improvement, and they're concerned about tranquility. But these are not the subjects that the persecuted Christians are interested in. Cuban Christians who spent 5 years in imprisonment, they're not looking for prosperity. The persecuted Christians in the third world have come far closer to the meaning of Christ when he said, "These things I have spoken unto you that ye might have peace." Because they have that inner calm. The knowledge of sins forgiven. The knowledge that the Lord cares. And he's willing to take them to glory. Listen carefully to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says of the Jews, "Five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things are without, that which cometh unto me daily, the care of all the churches." And yet Paul, in the midst of all that, could say in Philippians chapter 4, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." This is a peace that is above the circumstances. The peace that comes in the midst of the mourning. The tranquility that comes in the midst of the despair. That's the peace that we're talking about. And that's the peace that only the true child of God can experience. Do you have that peace tonight? Do you have that peace? There's persecution. There's peace. But there's also power. "Be of good cheer," he says. "I have overcome the world." He's overcome the prince of the world. The devil. The devil was vanquished there on the cross of Calvary. And what a victory he won. He's vanquished the prince of the world. He's also vanquished the fear of the world. The disciples here found themselves in a situation whereby the fear of the Jews was going to cause them to scatter. But the Lord Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You don't need to be afraid of anybody else. You don't need to be afraid of those people out there." He says, "Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Not only has he overcome the prince of the world and the fear of the world, but he overcomes the flattery of the world. The world will tell you how great a person you are. Tell you you don't need to be saved because of the great person that you are. They'll tell you you're all right and never think about it. But faith overcomes the flattery of the world and brings you to the Prince of Peace himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord gives us three good cheers. Men and women, the Savior is the one who can bring good cheer into your heart and life. Turn to him tonight. Receive him tonight. And thank God you can have joy, real joy, wonderful joy, when you let Jesus come into your heart. May you come and find him whom to know is life eternal tonight. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee for the good cheer of our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Draw sinners to thyself, and might we find the real cheer that we need in the arms of our Redeemer and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless thy word, for Jesus' sake. Amen.